Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
We've all been to weddings that have had generic ceremonies, cringy, unbalanced vows, and wedding speeches that droned on and on, or worse, said something completely inappropriate. But now, everyone speaking at the wedding can get professional help. Vows and Speeches helps write vows, wedding speeches, and ceremonies that are fun, moving, and memorable for the right reasons. There's no AI, unlimited revisions, and we help you practice it. Visit vowsandspeeches.com for more. That's VOWSAND speeches.com.
You know, the Mental Health Awareness Month, that's what it is. And so we have been having conversations. We've had conversations on maternal mental health. Last week we spoke about, I think it's the second week, we had to pause a little bit and do a show for mothers because that was Mother's Day. And then last week we continued with a conversation and we were asking what could be impacting the mental health of your children. And Dr. Ethel was here. We listened to the young ones and Pakojo was here as well. And it was so very insightful that right from the beginning, you're paying attention to your children. You're supposed to know the developmental milestones. And sometimes if they are not able to develop as such, then you will pick a few things up. You're supposed to work with the teachers. I mean, we're running and chasing money, but it's important that we are present and also observing our children. And we heard from the teenagers who also told us some of the things that impact their mental health. And one of the things that ran through all their deliveries that was very, very instructive to me was the fact that comparisons, when their parents are comparing them to their friends, when their teachers are comparing them, and even when they themselves are comparing themselves to other people, sometimes you end up feeling like you're not good enough, and that could actually impact their mental health. And so parents, it's important that we treat our children as individuals with individual and separate abilities other than always trying to say that my friend's child is doing this at this age. Why are you not able to do it? You can show concern, but not directly comparing them and making them feel like they're not good enough. It affects them. And this is not coming from any experts. The children said it themselves. And this morning, drum roll, I am so very excited because you see this gender that we are coming to talk about this morning, they are macho people. For them, everything, you know, you have to just keep going. You're a man. You have to keep going. You can't stop. You can't whine. You can't complain. You can't feel hurt. You can't do this. But we've been telling them, we've been telling our husbands, the boyfriends, uncles, our fathers, all the men in our lives. We have conversations here. I'm sure you talk to them, take good care of your health, relax when you have to. But sometimes it is they themselves who shortchange themselves and they don't listen. So today, we're here to have a very important conversation again to remind them. For me, it's a reminder to them that they're very, very, very important to us. We want them alive. We want them strong. We want them to be happy. Because if they are, then they get to pamper us as well. You know, so it's very important. And that's why we are having this conversation. And we are asking, what could be challenging the mental health of a man? What challenges the mental health of men? Do they even believe that they have mental health issues? We'll talk about them. And oh dear, my guest this morning, Uncle Ebo White. Daniela, you had to add the James to it. And I'm if you say no, come on. Uncle Ebo, good morning to you.
Adam, good morning. Your introduction has already given me stress.
Oh dear Lord. Uncle Ebo, which of them? Is it because you're also being macho?
Oh no, we've been telling them, but they don't listen.
Chula.
Oh, pressure.
Because we want you people. You see, when your man is stressed, you don't get the best out of him. You don't get the best.
No, of course you don't.
You don't get the best out of him. So you people should stop stressing. You know, stop stressing. It's important. But actually, well, thank you very much.
The very fact that, oh, hey, young man, get strong, get over your stress so you can make me feel good.
It's
stressful.
Hey.
That is pressure.
The matter does fall. Okay, then I don't even know where I'm going to start this conversation from.
Oh, relax. Let's flow.
Thank you very much, Jacques Lebo, for joining us. We appreciate your time this morning. And then we have Dr. Collins Bedu Ajiman. He is, let me take it easy, licensed organizational psychologist and human capital consultant and the national president of GPA.
Yes, Ghana Psychological Association.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for joining us, Doc.
Thank you very much, Adam.
And thank you also very much for sending Dr. Ethel away last week.
Yes, it was a pleasure listening to the deep conversations.
I tell you, it was really very deep and we appreciate it. Your readiness to say that, Adam, this, I will be here. And when I said we wanted to talk about the children, can he help recommend somebody? He says, no problem. Within 10, 15 minutes, it was sorted out. Doc, thank you very much.
I mean, we are in this together.
Yes.
I mean, I know Uncle Ebo White is helping from one side.
Mm-hmm.
Adam is helping from another side. And so all of us will continue to help from one way or the other. And that is how we continue to support ourselves.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. So we get into it right away. If you're just joining us, it's Home Affairs and we're discussing the mental health, you know, what could be challenging the mental health of that man in your life, or generally what challenges the mental health of men. And that's what we are talking about. Like I said earlier, they themselves, they don't believe that they have any issues, you know, but we know. We know. So we'll talk about it. Let me start off with you, Doc. When we talk about mental health, especially so when it comes to men, what are we talking about?
All right, thank you, Adam. I mean, I'm always excited talking about social issues, issues of health, matters that concerns everyone. It doesn't matter your circumstance in life. When it comes to health,
mm-hmm.
we are all involved. And it is also always a joy to talk about mental health. Is normally neglected.
Mm.
But I must say we've made progress in Ghana, and now a lot of people are opening up to understand what mental health is and how we can continue to invest in our mental health. Let me make a first statement that all humans, male, females, we all have mental health.
And children as well.
Yes. Children, male, female, older, younger, we all have mental health. And that is the very first statement we need to get clear. So whenever we mention mental health, it is not something we should be scared of, because we all have it. And the reason why I say so, we are all able to cope in one way or the other to the demands of life.
Mm.
This morning, imagine Adam getting up early, taking your bath, dressing up, looking for your key. You are able to follow these routines simply because you have a good mental health. You have a balanced mental health.
Mm.
And I always explain mental health from the perspective of a number line. You know, we all did mathematics growing up as children, and normally we have zero in the middle of the number line, one arrow to the left, one arrow to the right. So the zero there, more or less, you symbolize a balanced state of our mental health. And we all have it.
Mm.
Now, we can move toward the positive, that is a good mental health, and continue to invest in our improve our mental health. Then, the negative side, let's take that side as the challenging state. Our world can be rocked such that we begin to move away from our balanced state of mental health, and our mental health become poorer. This is how we must see mental health. So we all have mental health, and it can be good, it can also be poor.
All right.
At the poor state, I must say, it can deteriorate if indeed it begins to happen and then we do not notice the signs that, look, my balanced mental health state is being impaired. Now I have gone through this particular situation, this life-changing incident, this shock, this particular experience at work, in my family, what have you, and now it's becoming consistent, I am not who I am. Then your mental health state is now moving toward the negative side or the poorer side.
Mm.
And if this continues for a period of time consistently and begin to affect how you think, let's take note, how we think, how we feel, and how we are behaving, then it means we are developing an unhealthy mental health state. And at this point, we say that person is developing some mental health challenges. So let's remember, when we go through some life-changing experiences,
mm,
and it begins to affect how we think or how we process what may be happening, and then how we are thinking is affecting how I feel, mm, and it begins to affect how I behave, then our mental health needs assessment and possible remedy.
I think this has been like broken down, and this is for both men and women,
certainly,
generally.
Certainly.
Great. And I like the number line analogy.
Yes.
So, you know, if you put the number line there and then you are remembering that, okay, I have had to deal with something and this thing is impacting, you know, how you're thinking, how you're feeling. And then you begin to behave in a certain way. And then you realize that you are beginning to tilt towards the negative side of the number line. Then you know that you have issues and you don't have to neglect.
Exactly. The point. And that is how we all need to see it.
Oh no, that makes it very simple.
We all have mental health. We can invest in it. Life-changing experiences and circumstances can also impact our balanced state of mental health.
Mm.
And that can move us into a state of what? Having a poor mental health.
Great.
And what that means is that our mental health is not stationary.
Mm.
Because anything can happen, and I'm sure as we engage
progress,
more,
yeah,
narrowing down on men,
yeah,
we'll be able to understand the masculine situations, sure, and how it affects.
And
the
great, when you say that anything can happen, life is not static,
exactly,
and so your mental health is,
yeah,
not.
Yeah.
And as for the life challenges, they come up every single time.
Yeah.
And so how is that impacting your mental health? And so generally we've given it an overview, and I'm turning to Uncle Ebo, and then we begin to look at the men. So Uncle Ebo, now let's,
yeah,
put the men on the chopping block from your perspectives, as a counselor. You're engaging people every day. I mean, you know so much. And so we are asking, when it comes to men right now, what are some of the life challenges that can impact the way they think, the way they feel, and end up probably affecting their behavior, and that which will make them start tilting towards a poorer mental health?
All right. Adam, I'm going to... Oh, Doc, good morning. It's good,
morning,
to hear from you.
Good morning, Uncle Ebo.
All right. Doc, permit me to try to do something in your area. But this morning, I want to put out 5 W's.
Good.
Around which I want to discuss the mental health of men. And first, let me give the 5 W's and then we'll go on. Work, wealth, women. Adam, did you hear that?
I did, I clever.
Weed and wine as one, and then the fifth is wisdom. So work, wealth, women, weed and wine, and then wisdom. So
and
let me
take the fourth point again is what? Weed and what?
Wine.
Weed and wine.
Weed and wine. Okay.
Weed and wine. I use that to represent substance abuse.
Okay, I get it. Wow.
All right. So let me begin with the first W, work. Adam, Doc will tell you that for a man, when a man's job is threatened, or when a man is struggling in his work, or he's having challenges in his work, or a man is jobless, he is almost dead, it undermines our feeling of being of manhood. Work means everything to a man. And so a man who is not working is inside, doesn't feel like a man. It doesn't matter what support system you put in place for him. He doesn't feel good about himself. If he's having challenges in his work, for instance, if he's not meeting his targets, if he's not on top of his game, or if he has a terrible boss who is making life difficult for him, or the work environment is toxic, that man is in a bad place. He is in trouble. So that is the first one that challenges us, work. Because a lot of us as men define who we are with the work we do. So when you take that away from us, so it's easy for a man to answer, oh, what do you do? Oh, I am this, I am this. Don't ask a man, what are you? Or who are you? No, he will not be able to answer. What do you do? Or if you ask him, who are you? He will tell you, I am a broadcaster or something. So the first W that challenge.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
We've all been to weddings that have had generic ceremonies, cringy, unbalanced vows, and wedding speeches that droned on and on, or worse, said something completely inappropriate. But now, everyone speaking at the wedding can get professional help. Vows and Speeches helps write vows, wedding speeches, and ceremonies that are fun, moving, and memorable for the right reasons. There's no AI, unlimited revisions, and we help you practice it. Visit vowsandspeeches.com for more. That's VOWSAND speeches.com.
Challenges us is work. The second is wealth. And in wealth, I am putting together the expectations of society, the expectations we have of ourselves, the expectations we have society has of us, in terms of our economic muscle. And every man wants to be economically independent. Every man wants to be able to meet his needs as and when they come up. No man is happy going to borrow. No man is happy going to ask for help. We may ask for it when we are desperate, but even then we must be very, very desperate before. When a man gets to the point where he's asking, that is a man in a very bad place. His emotional mental health is seriously challenged, because we want to feel that, you know, there is an account statement, Ojani Nainso, you know, I am solid. I am capable.
Yeah.
Our wealth. So all that, and wealth here, yeah, I'm using it for just economic and financial resources. And then the third thing that challenges us, women. Now, it is not because women are bad. Though, if you ask the average man will tell you that the woman in his life is his demon. But it is because, Adam, the differences between men and women are so huge, and yet we don't attend to them. We don't pay attention to them. And it trips especially men up very, very much. Why is she not happy? Why is she not grateful for what I have done? What does she expect of me? What at all does she want me to do? Because I think I'm doing my best, but she doesn't seem to be appreciating it. Women, the women in our lives, unfortunately for us as men, we can't also stay away from women. I mean, we must have the women.
You can't survive without us. Unfortunately.
No, we can't. We can't. We try. Some of us have tried, but we don't succeed. Okay. You women can do without us. And sometimes you act, especially when you have the children, we don't really matter to you.
You know that is how God made it. God created you people and realized that you can't survive without us. It's impossible.
Yes.
So,
and then since that day, we men have not had peace, but God himself has also not had peace.
Oh. But you know, he's a very wise God, oh.
Let me go to my fourth W, and I put wine and weed and wine together as number. And there I'm looking at substance abuse, the lifestyle of men, the way we have been socialized. For instance, in my younger days, I used to take a lot of Fanta. I've never taken alcohol because I think my father took enough alcohol for all his children. So I don't take alcohol. And I didn't also like Coke. So I'll go and ask for Fanta. And invariably, the waiter and people who see me with Fanta, now we my pan on Fanta. Oh, there, now no Fanta saying. We are expected to adopt very, very unhealthy and harmful lifestyles. That is when we are regarded as men. If you go anywhere and they give you alcohol and so I don't drink it, immediately they put question marks on you. Are you a man? What do you mean? You don't drink this? So wine and weed, substance abuse. And then the final one, I'm talking about wisdom. And the Bible will tell you that there is a godly wisdom and then there is the worldly wisdom. And sometimes the worldly wisdom messes us up. The worldly wisdom tells us, if you're a man, this is how you should behave. This is how you should act. This is what you do. You must do this. And the more you do that, then the society accepts you. And that messes us up. So those are the five W's that challenges us. Work, wealth, women,
weed and wine,
and wisdom.
Wow. Hank Lebo, thank you for this. Like, it also looks like a whole summary of everything, you know. Doc, your comments on Hank Lebo's points, and then if you have any more to add.
In fact, Adam, when I saw I was going to engage on this with Uncle Lebo White, I was expecting this creativity, something he is very superb at.
With, yeah.
And so Uncle Lebo, Aiko, whenever I listen to Uncle Lebo White,
it makes it very simple.
It pained me I didn't continue at a higher level with the literature. But I must say, I am still doing the literature in another way.
Exactly.
Through psychological creativity and mental health creativity.
Nice.
Uncle Bo White, your five W's.
You're making me blush this morning.
Uncle Bo, this is a genuine commendation. And I guess all our listeners can allude to this fact. Your creativity is indeed something we really appreciate. And the 5W certainly summarizes most of the ideas around mental health.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is to add.
Okay.
And I am sure with the thematized 5Ws given by Uncle Abel White, what I'm going to say, we can fit them as we move along. Now, men have emotions. And I'm saying this so that all family members who are listening, we know families, some have started work. Their radio is on Joy 99.7. We know the children are listening, the bigger family, employers are listening, employees are listening. Please, we want to make this point that men have emotions.
Mm.
And they are also susceptible to the same challenges that women experience. I must say, women experience a lot of mental health challenges than men. And one typical example when it comes to the things that threatens the psychological health of women, such that more women even attempt suicide than men. But sadly, how come more men are able to complete dying by suicide than women?
Mm.
And that is the more reason why we need to give men's mental health an attention. And so the point that we are making for a start to support Uncle Ebo White's demystification of men's mental health into 5 W's, we want to remember that men have emotions. We must recognize that. Now, the reason why I'm saying men have emotions and we must recognize that, our traditional sayings, phraseologies, proverbial sayings, societal orientation makes us begin to believe that men do not have emotions. Men cannot be affected as far as their mental health is concerned. But this is something I want to warn against. Let me cite a few examples. I am a paramyologist. By paramyologist, what I mean is I love to use proverbs. I analyze proverbs and I make sense out of them and begin to generate context-specific knowledge from what we have.
Okay.
Now, let's critically analyze few proverbial sayings, especially from the Akan perspective. You hear simple sayings like Obemensu. That is number one. Men
don't cry.
Don't cry. Or must not cry. Let's put it that way. Then number two, Oberman or Numedren, you know. And so for we men, we must always take in those pills, those medications that are bitter, literally translating it. And then another saying, Oberimato Tudro, Antonia Adwa, as they say, meaning for men, we must handle the most difficult things. So comparing it to selling Garden X, so that is for women. But we must sell the gunpowder or what have you. What are they suggesting?
To draw is gunpowder. Yes. Okay.
And many others that you can actually think of.
Wow.
I have just given three.
Mm-hmm.
Now, critically analyzing these societal orientations, there are many men right from the beginning begin to internalize these things, and that is where we begin the conversation of our poor mental health state, often ignored, neglected. That is where it starts from. By these sayings, you are being oriented to carry a particular posture. Analyzing just these three I cited, you see high risk taking.
Mm-hmm.
Because gunpowder, we know what the gun can do.
Exactly.
And you are the repertoire and the keeper, so to speak, of the gunpowder.
Mm.
Literally, it suggests a lot of challenges.
True.
Now, analyzing this, you also see the tendency of leading in difficult times. So difficult decisions, difficult moment, we expect you to show that these responsibilities. Now, when there is a sudden crisis in a home, what do we hear? Memamro, what does it mean? There is a situation, and the memamro, men should come. Yes, these proverbial sayings suggest that, yes, we should take the lead even in difficult times. And I'm not surprised a number of articles have spoken about why men die early than women. These are all some of the things we can thematize from some of these cultural orientations. Now, these proverbs, the three that I mentioned, also suggest that men are revered and must be seen as a stable symbol of resilience. So, yes, you must always be strong. Your shoulders must be standing. Your chest must always be up to shoulder all the challenges that are coming. But I must say we need to fight against this, because this internalization lead to what I call the macho culture, whereby a lot of men take on more than ordinarily they would have been able to do. So if you look at what Uncle Ebo White said, looking at the 5 W's, I am looking at one such as wealth.
Yeah.
This internalization must now make me feel that, look, as a man, I must have a house, not one.
You must be the provider.
Exactly. And in my house, I must have one in Accra. Where do I come from? I come from Asante Mampong or Edinyatunzu Ejabubinch River. So I must have one there. And then I need to have one in my wife's hometown. Then when I get there, I am revered.
Eesh.
The macho culture, simply because of the internalization of our social orientation.
Wow.
Now, the other point that I need to make, just to buttress what Uncle Ebo White said, our role, social role orientation and modeling. Mothers do that. They go to the market. What do they buy for the younger children who are females?
Dolls.
Dolls. And the doll is so fragile.
Mm-hmm.
You can remove the arm. You can remove the head. You can remove all the parts. And then they can fix it. But what do they normally buy for the boys?
Maybe a football.
You can football. And then football is seen as a masculine sport until recently. Or sometimes those who are very aggressive will buy guns, toy guns.
For them.
Even for their children. This role orientation begin to reflect that this is what we expect from you. And that is another thing that we need to look at. Now, Uncle Ebo White touched on something that is so dear to me. One of my colleagues, a researcher, Johnny Ando, Arthur, and he looked at three key things that threatens the mental health of men. He called it the three P's. And it buttresses.
Writing a great speech is difficult. Not everyone's a great writer, and even those that are can struggle when emotion is involved. If you're giving a speech at a wedding or another event, Thousand Speeches can help you make sure it's fun, moving, highly personalized, and memorable. It starts with a one-on-one phone interview, then we write the draft and edit it until you're happy. No AI, and we help you practice the delivery. Visit thousandspeeches.com for more. That's VOWSAND speeches.com.
One of the points Uncle Ebo White mentioned, by the three P's, he said the masculinity norms of Ghana, the three P's. Number one, the ability to provide materially.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the three P's of the masculinity norms in Ghana. And then number two, you should be able to perform sexually. No 2 minutes. It must be convincing to your wife. Then number three, the ability to produce children. From this, my colleague, Dr. Johnny Ando Arthur, these three P's of the masculinity norms of Ghana can potentially be one of the most devastating aspects of a man's mental health. And you see these three P's subsumed in what Uncle Ebo White said.
Yes.
There is work.
Yes.
So the ability to provide materially.
Exactly.
If you don't have work, you feel so empty.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, working with organizations, I've supported many organizations recruit, hire. And I've also supported organizations genuinely wanting to fire. And I know the processes we go through. And how those who potentially will lose their jobs out of mergers, acquisitions, takeovers, scaling down, downsizing, the experiences of those who may be going through this. So that P, ability to provide adequately for your family and relevant others, if it is not there, indeed can plunge men into a very difficult mental health situation. Now, the first one, the ability to perform, is also relevant. Now, by performing, once you are married, you need to perform your marriage due. That is how the Bible calls it. And most marriages may have challenges And sometimes we know from clinical settings, couples are not open to talking about the challenges they have as far as intimacy-related issues are concerned.
Mm.
And I was very excited while I was driving here, some of the conversations that was being held as far as family, marriage, intimacy, sex, and other related issues are concerned. Indeed, it's a thorny area. Many families, couples, are not courageous to talk about the challenges they have within the family. And I must say, it is worth addressing, especially as professionals and social colleagues who are very much interested in the stability of the family. Now, if you look at the very last one, not being able to produce, that is a difficult situation. Picture the scene in public and a woman saying, you, are you a man? Yeah, come, ma'am. When you are talking about men, are you part? What shows you a man? Picture how this can begin to affect one, the thinking of this man. Then it begins to affect his what? His feeling.
His heart.
And this will begin to affect his what? His behavior.
Mm.
And that is the connection. And so certainly, men's mental health is something that we need to prioritize. And for me, the 5 W's Anke Lebowai just alluded to,
I tell you,
which is also explained by Dr. Johnny Andoata as the 3 P's of the masculinity norms of Ghanaians, are things we need to look at. And the psychological impacts, I see a number of them, but let me just highlight about 4 or 5. 1, stress. 2, loneliness. 3, depression. 4, anxiety. 5, post-traumatic stress disorder, especially when they go through bitter and painful experiences. Post-traumatic stress disorders. And then lastly, and most dangerous, unhealthy coping. As they go through all these, unhealthy coping. Anke Lebowai used weed and wine for his expression of what professionally we would call unhealthy coping. So many people may resort to either excessive drinking or over-reliance on other medications, even if prescribed, or abuse of substance. And that could be a form of coping with any of these challenges that they may be going through.
Wow.
And this, we need to beware.
Wow.
Adam, can I say something to Doc?
Yes, Uncle Ibo.
Doc, that was brilliant. But I'd like to give you a message for your colleague with a 3 P's for men. Tell him there's a 4th.
Okay.
It's protect. The traditional role of men and the reason why men are encouraged to live dangerous lives and to experiment and to become macho is because for a long time, the only role of a man, one of the roles, because providing even the provision was not, it's a very recent one, but producing children, performing were key, and protection. So when you said mem amro, that's a key thing. I mean, if somebody is rude, these days there's a little bit more order. So when somebody is rude to your wife, she's not going to run home and tell you that, Doc, Dimechi, Obia, somebody has annoyed me, go and fight him.
Yeah.
But so tell your colleague that protection has always been a very important expectation of man. And then...
Oh.
I guess I agree
we'll
with...
get back to Uncle.
I agree with Uncle Lebowai. And Uncle Lebowai, I want to just add to the protect you mentioned. Now, Adam, when women and men are getting married, there is a phrase they use. They say akontaje. People say akontasekain. It's not akontasekain. It's akonta take this je fesikwain, meaning your sister that I'm coming to marry. Now take this gift. Block the way, no entry to this house
from any other man.
Exactly. Akonta je nefesi kwain. Remember, there might be sisters. Why did we give this gift, so to speak, this responsibility to the male child who is a brother to the lady being married, and the role is block the way, block the entryway to there. So that really accentuates what Uncle Ebo White said, that yes, the next P could be to protect. And certainly I do agree with that particular submission.
Great.
If it is okay, we could talk about perhaps the signs.
We'll get into it.
Good.
We'll get into it. If you're just joining us, you have missed a bit because I didn't know that, men had such concerns. I mean, we'll talk about these things casually, like I started by saying, take care of yourselves, we want you to be there and all that. And Uncle Ebo rightly said that. Even sometimes those demands on men could even be impacting their mental health. Initially, you thought that, it was just in jest. But as we have progressed into the conversation, you'd realize that there's so much on a man's mind. There's so much that is expected of a man. And honestly, Doc, we will get into the science, but I simply want to ask, whilst Uncle Ebo, joins us back on Zoom, all the things we have talked about, Uncle Ebo's 5 W's, work, wealth, women, weed and wine, wisdom, the stress, all of these things can lead you into, we've talked about the 3 P's, to provide, to perform, sexually, and provide materially, perform sexually, and produce children. And now we are saying you also have to be protective. And if all of these things are, a man is saddled with all of these things, and we looked at the what mental health is generally, and I still love the number line analogy, and all of these things, if they are pushing you towards the negative end, that means that you're probably going to get stressed, you're going to feel lonely, because you talked about the fact that men have emotions, and and some of these things are also from the role orientations. When you started talking, I was wondering, and this is where I'm driving to, is it wrong to be actually expecting these from men, and training maybe your young male sons to realize that as a man, you have responsibilities, and so you will have to grow up that way. That's one of the things on my mind. I have a son, and sometimes when he is arguing unnecessarily with his sisters, I want to, you're tempted to tell him that, listen, men are not supposed to be petty. Can you leave this petty things for your sisters, and then you draw him away from it? Is it wrong to be socializing our male children, not to be petty, unnecessarily quarrelsome, and arguing unnecessarily? Is it wrong? And having gone through all of these things, again, generally, even for grown-up men like you, isn't it just part of life that these things are expected from men? Because traditionally, women also have their roles, and traditionally, men have their roles. Why is that of men becoming such an issue that, for lack of a better word, we need to now start really pitying them and, making theirs look so huge, as if we're putting too much on them? I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Adam, I certainly feel your heart while putting these things across. Foremost, let me talk about the children, your boy perhaps arguing with the sisters, and you say, no, you don't have to be petty. Now, where did you get that idea from? That you're a boy, you don't have to be petty. And that is where the internalization. You were groomed by your parents.
No, but you're a man. You shouldn't be fighting over chicken with
by the community where you have come from.
That's true.
You have internalized it. And so this internalization is continuing. You are also grooming your children to appreciate what you were exposed to, what you've been told, what you've seen. So you have internalized it, and you are carrying it on. Now your children, over time, gradually, you keep mentioning it, you keep highlighting it, will also internalize it. So you grow up, give birth, and begin to do the same. And that is how we continue to do it.
Wow.
And that is why it becomes a norm within, say, the Ghanaian context. And so until we begin to be open-minded and say it's not wrong, perhaps by being petty and speaking up, it is an opportunity for them to begin to talk about how they feel. And remember, the differences between men's mental health and women's mental health. Women are more likely to seek help.
Men
they are more likely to talk about how they feel. Men don't. Because Adam tells the young boy, you don't have to be talking too much. You don't have to be petty. So they begin to quell. They begin to suppress. And I must say, suppression is one of the challenges many men face when they have a lot of worries up here. What they are thinking about. Is it about debts? Is it about work-related experiences that is eating them up? They suppress all these things. They are not able to open up, talk to others about it, talk to relevant others, share even with their wives. Think about it, if the boss is a female and a husband, a full-blown man, comes home and tell you, my wife, Charlie, my boss, they worry me, they stress me. Imagine the comments that may come from someone who do not understand work-related pressure and what is involved. Many men suppress how they are thinking, how they are feeling, and it begins to affect their behavior. And often, it is when this number line analogy, in the negative, we get to the worst stage. And then there is consistency of deviation from the thinking, feeling, behavior, total deviation from the average. Then the person's behavior is impaired. That is the state we see, and many people say, hey, this person has gone wayward. At that point, it is becoming a psychiatric situation, such that the behavior is way off. There have been consistency of an impaired mental health that was never addressed, never checked, never responded to, and for that matter, it became a very dire state. And at this point, you need a psychiatrist and possibly a clinical psychologist to work together, sometimes even with medication, to be able to help these ones manage themselves. So suppression, we are all contributing to it by virtue of what we say to the boy and that particular girl.
Doc, it looks like there's so much. I mean, some of the things we will do, you're doing it from, probably you think from a good place. And like you're saying, this is how we all have been brought up. And
Joy 99.7
and you know, there's so much. There's some of the things that I don't want to begin to talk about here. Because you know about, I mean, a lot of things are getting into our culture these days, right?
Okay.
That when you see, you probably, I mean, not me, but generally, you could see that there's a boy who has feminine tendencies. And I have a friend who says, you want to whip that out of him real quick because you don't want him turning into something else. And so you want to raise the boys to be tougher. And like you're rightly saying, this is how we all have been raised, conditioned, and this is how we have grown. And you think that, I mean, it's just okay to pass it on. Because when you are looking at society at large, you realize that there's a lot of pressure on men.
Yeah.
The last time I was asking a colleague of mine that, how many women, right? I mean, we want the good things of life. So a woman would want to work and have her own house and cars and things like that. It's beautiful. But it is not a demand society is placing on a woman. Don't you get what I'm trying to say?
Well,
but society places that demand on, like, you are a man and you don't even have a house. You don't even have this. a woman gets those things for herself, it's okay. But you won't go anywhere and they'll ask you, a woman, where is your house? But they can easily ask that of a man, you know. So there's so much pressure on men. And I'm also just asking, and Uncle Abel, have you joined us again? Not yet. You're wondering that what really is so wrong about a man being masculine?
Well, Adam,
and then we can talk about the science.
I totally agree to some extent with what you are saying, but at the macro level in Ghana, let's take Ghana for instance, at the macro level, conversations are normally held man to man, and you see the discourse where it's moving to.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what sets more or less a standard of who a man should be.
Mm.
And if you are not tough, if you are not strong, mm-hmm. and resilient, mm-hmm. not to yield,
mm-hmm.
if you don't take care, you begin to break your back,
yeah,
just to be able to satisfy this wrongfully set standard that once you are a man, you must have a house. It is something Ghanaian. Now everyone begins to work and begins to look for, what I say, half plot of land. Is that not the point? Let's do a survey, all those who have worked here 3 years or more, and each of them will be thinking about half plot of land.
Mm.
And that is where the demands start from.
Mm.
So you want to build for yourself, but go elsewhere. Is that the norm?
Mm.
At what point may someone living in UK, US want to buy a house? The system is built such that you must have a credit score. How do you build a credit score? Consistency of having work over a period of time.
Mm.
There is stability that indeed, even given a shock, within a period of, say, 3 to 6 months, you will still be able to manage yourself and bounce back before you'll be allowed to buy a house.
Mm.
We don't have that.
We don't have that.
So the demands at the macro level set those wrong standards. Now, talking about the children, it's not wrong. We need to be balanced. Once we notice traces that may not augur well as far as the sexual orientation is concerned, as a parent, be balanced and address those issues. But we should also be balanced in helping our children realize that, look, it is okay not to be okay. And it is okay to speak about how you feel. And once you do this, it begins from their schooling days. So the young boy goes to school, there is an experience at school, he comes home, and mother, you pick your child, how was today? How was school? Do not take fine. It was okay as an answer. Engage in a conversation, and that is how you begin to help them to avoid suppression rather than what? Talk about experiences at school openly, and then you can use discerning and then inviting questions just to hear them out.
Great.
And that is a beautiful way of doing away with their future suppression so they can open up and seek help.
Nice. This conversation is deep. So there are things that we have grown up with,
yes,
and we have come to accept as normal.
Yeah.
We're trying to change some of them. Some are so rooted, it will be so difficult to change, but having these conversations regularly will begin to help us to know that it is okay not to be okay. It's okay for a man to talk. It's okay for a man to voice out how they feel. And it's okay for us not to judge them, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, because you talked about the fact that men have emotions too. And if these emotions are not paid attention to, then that will lead to the unhealthy coping, you know. And that's when you begin to complain, you drink too much, you smoke too much, you do this too much, you do this too much. There was something that was really bothering that person. And because you talked about suppression, because these emotions have been suppressed, you haven't been encouraged to talk about it and seek help. Then you begin to seek help in ways that you think it is what a man must do.
That may not help.
Oh my God. Okay. So, Uncle Abel, we'll now move in to talk about, okay, so now we appreciate some of the things that, you know, end up stressing men.
Pattern investment.
we appreciate the things that stress men. We have seen the problem. Doc, you wanted to, you know, make allusion to how this is rooted in science. We'll have a bit of time to talk about it. And then we will, you know, now look at, so how do we deal with some of these things? How do you even identify as a woman living with a grown-up man that
sometimes
my partner may be having issues, and how do you begin to approach it? Because, I mean, most of these men, you're living with your wife, yeah, your mother, your auntie or something. So how do we even identify it? And I think the other big problem that I have noticed is also coming from men to men. When a man tries to be expressive, I mean, and I think with the women, we are happy if our men decide to talk. But you have men telling their fellow men that you are a man and you are not supposed to be doing this. And so to be able to fit in and also be a man, then you begin to internalize all of these things. So I think the problem is largely man to man. So we will address, you know, that as well before we go. But the joy of every parent is to see their children grow healthy and become more intelligent and physically fit. And to achieve this desire, every parent needs to ensure that their children are given nutritious foods that has the essential nutrients which can promote their well-being. One of the best of such nutritious foods is Vitamilk soy milk drink. Vitamilk is made from whole soy grain soybean, which is a good source of plant protein, and it is enriched with omega 3, 6, and 9, also with calcium and all the essential nutrients and multivitamins recommended for daily living. Vitamilk has no artificial coloring, no artificial flavorings, and no preservatives. So go on and choose Vitamilk Champ for your children, because the protein, calcium and omega 3, 6 and 9, and Vitamilk Champ has proven to help your adorable children grow smarter, healthier and even stronger every day. It comes in the regular soy milk drink. You can have it in the Vitamilk Energy, the energy booster with no caffeine, the choco, the banana, the strawberry, and it is packaged in the 250 mils or 1 liter Tetra Pak. Vitamilk is indeed a nutritious beverage that feels good anywhere, anytime. And the date is drawing very close. Imagine enjoying the urban pulse of Joburg, the scenic beauty of Cape Town, the majestic mountains of Lesotho, all the thrilling sunset in Sun City. Well, imagine no more, because Adansi Travels and Joy FM invite you to join Lexus Bill and the Drive Time team as they explore South Africa this June. Exciting packages to choose from. You have the Joburg one, Joburg alone, that's from the 5th to the 10th of June, and it's starting from 1,390 per person. You can do the Joburg and Cape Town 6th to 13th June at a promo rate of $1,790 per person. Joburg and Sun City from the 4th to the 11th of June, 1,690 per person. And Joburg and Lesotho 4th to 11th June at 1,750 per person. And to crown it all, you have an opportunity to attend the Legends and Legacy Ball, which is also happening at the Sandton Convention Center in Joburg, with a special performance by the iconic Yvonne Chaka Chaka and many other renowned artists. So don't let this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity slip away. Seats are filling very fast. That is if they are not all filled now. Call Adansi Travels now on 053-100-8550 or 059-550-0817, or visit adansitravels.com to secure your spot. Feel life's beauty with Adansi Travels and Joy FM in South Africa this June. And yes, go on and discover the rich, creamy taste of Dino Milk that perfectly completes your breakfast to deliver that delightful flavor you've always craved. Dino Milk is fortified with vitamin A and D, and it's also a source of protein, calcium, vitamin B2, B12, potassium, phosphorus, and all of these will keep you nourished every day. Get your quality Dino Cool Cow instant powdered milk for an unparalleled taste experience and for your nourishment. Dano Milk, just go for it. This advert is FDA approved. All right, so I'll turn to Uncle Ebo, if Uncle Ebo is on the line with us. Hello, Uncle Ebo, are you there? Do we have Uncle Abel?
Hello, I am here.
Okay, great, Uncle Abel. So now we want to now, you know, begin to find solutions. So what do we do? How do we identify, or how do we know that the men in our lives are having these challenges? How do we deal with them? And I also mentioned earlier that some of these issues are from men to men. Your fellow man is telling you that, look, you're being a woman. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. Why are you doing this? And when you do that, you're not man enough. But then, like I said from the beginning, we want our men to be okay. So how do we deal with some of these issues?
All right. Adam, first, let me say that I missed a lot of the program because we were having issues with the Zoom link.
I apologize.
Thank you to Equia and to Jojo, who have done well to get me back on. I do not know how much I've missed, and it's possible that some of the things I'm going to say, Doc has already spoken about them. So if I'm setting the program back, I apologize. But Adam, listen. Let the women get out of our lives, out of our problems. We'll sort them out. We are one of the biggest issues of our time are boys being raised by women without any male influence. And so it is a big issue. I am alarmed that more and more young ladies think that it's a good option to have a child without a husband, without a man to help raise the boy. In our mother's times, when situation compelled them to have to raise a boy by themselves, either because the man is dead or something, or divorced, they always look for another man in the community to let the boy go and hold himself accountable to that person. So we are having this big issue of boys being raised by women. And trust me, with all the good intentions of mothers, you do your best, but it would leave that boy lacking something. He needs a man figure in his life. And somehow, if you don't have a man, the man is dead, there's been a divorce, look for somebody else in the society whom the boy can look up to, who can look up for the boy and be able to hold the boy accountable. That is number one. The second thing is, and I'm sure Doc will bear me out on this. Doc.
Yeah, Uncle Abel.
The times have changed. Society has changed.
Yeah.
Women have evolved with the changes in society, but men, we haven't evolved. There was a time when the reason why society encouraged men to be free and did not saddle us with too much responsibility was because they know that we'll be called upon to make the ultimate sacrifice for the society.
Yeah.
Those were the days of intertribal wars, intercommunal wars, where the next community can get up and decide that we are coming to take your harvest because we can. And if you don't want us to do it, then fight for it. And so we needed men to lay down their lives for us. And so we let them free. In one of the materials I